I live every day as though it is my first, and each succeeding day is equally great. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with a thought for today. I live every day as though it is my first, and each succeeding day is equally great. I was having a discussion with Ellen this morning about greeting our students, our new students, ones who wanted to start with us, and how sometimes a student will call in and say they want to start, and then they'll call in, say they want to start, and then they'll call in, say they want to start, then they'll send in their application, and then they'll say, oh, they forgot to send the money in, you know, the tuition. And we say, well, just keep going. And then they start sending in a lesson, and then they don't send in a lesson for a couple of weeks, and then they send in a lesson, and then they don't send it in, and they wonder how Ellen can always be such a bubble of enthusiasm as though she's talking to them for the first time. How each student that Ellen talks to, or Sylvia talks to, or Ingeborg talks to, or I talk to, each student that we talk to, they think that we are acting about them, that this is the first time they've called in. We give them the same loving, abundant enthusiasm, the same wonderful support. And hey, if they go ahead with the program, great. If they don't, great. We're not here to be the motivators for people to take the program. The motivation has to come within them. We are the program. We offer them the opportunity to walk the spiritual path in just the way that we have learned is a good way to do it. Now, a lot of times, students will send in their lessons, they'll do the first course, and they'll just be gung-ho. They'll just turn it in so beautifully, and the lessons will be beautiful, and the words will be beautiful. And then after they've made the first step with the undergraduate work, and they've graduated from the undergraduate program, then they, oh, yes, I've got to get going with the Song of the Spirit. And then an interesting thing happens. And as you know, and I know, nothing happens by chance. But an interesting thing happens. It's called, I have lost my lesson. It is lost in the mail. It is lost here, lost there, lost somewhere. And that's okay. That's cool. But don't make excuses for not getting through. During the first course, every lesson came in punctually. It came in on the week, and it had the full, properly done things, you know, the 100-word essay, legible and beautiful. I was talking yesterday to a young man in prison who is taking the courses, and he's working on, what is he working on, Song of Spirit? Yeah, he's working on Song of Spirit. Well, I had written him a note, and I said, your first course was beautifully done. Your thesis was beautifully done. Everything was, you know, marvelously done. And then all of a sudden, you started thinking that you were superior to the course. And you said you sent it in, but you didn't. And you lied to yourself. You lied to me, but I don't care about that. Whether you lie or don't lie to me makes no difference. But you lied to yourself. And you said you did it. And I said, here you are in prison. You have all day long to sit and read your lessons and study them and grow from them and just be mentally out in the world, mentally in heaven. You don't have to be mentally in prison, you know. He said, yeah, that's right. And I said, when you are delinquent in doing what you promised to do, I mean, because you can always change your promise. You can write to us and say, I think I'll take the course a little slower. I will, instead of doing it 1 week at a time, I'll do it 1 year for each lesson. And hey, that's cool. You know, it's like the woman who wanted to grow a complete new set of teeth at the age of 100. but one at a time. So she would live for another 62 years or whatever it is, you know. All right, all right, 32. But it's great. And you see, whatever, we do not judge them. We do not say, you should do this, you should do that. We just say, hey, if you get it in, we're here to check it for you and send it back with our love. If you don't get it in, we're here to take it from you and send it back with our love when it comes, you know. And we love you, and we encourage you to do the program, but it's up to you. But you see, we have to treat each student every single time we hear from them as though they have just joined us. Because they did. They've just arrived at a new level of consciousness by doing their lessons. They've arrived at a new level of awareness by doing their lessons. I've taken courses in universities and colleges across the United States for years and enjoyed them. Some I didn't enjoy, but most of them I enjoyed. And each time I would do a lesson, I felt just as though I was on a new level of awareness. Oh, I understand. I know what's going on. Ha! It's illumination, you know. And my teachers, who were wise, gave me the enthusiasm. Great, you did well on that lesson. And they don't say, you did poorly on the last 10, but you did well on that one. They say, you did well on that one. You did very well. You're great. You're coming along just fine. And their enthusiasm showed me that they loved teaching and they loved the course. And if I liked it, fine. If I didn't like it, fine. They were going to live each day as though it's a brand new day. I live every day as though it's my first. And each succeeding day is equally great. Now, when we can handle our life like that, what a joy we have. And our friend in prison, I had written him a letter, and I said, he can lie to himself, and he can lie to us, but we won't accept it. We will accept only what he has said. He may change his mind if he wishes. He may do anything he wants. And he wrote back, and he says, you're right. I have treated you like a fool. I have treated you with disrespect. And he said, like you said, if I treat my other friends the way I treat you, I can understand why they stop being friends and why they don't help me and why they're not supportive of me. I mean, he understood totally. He understood totally because I didn't make a judgment of him. I didn't say that I would stop. And I said, regardless of what way you're walking your path, I'll always love you. And I'll always be here for you, and I'll always care about you. And whatever you've done, not fulfilling your promises to yourself, I will not make a judgment on that, and I will not look at you in that way. I will always look at you as a man of your word and a man who wants to go where he wants to go. And he says, Herb, no one has ever said that to me in my life. No one has ever believed in me like that. I have wanted things, and I have tried to buy them by my enthusiasm and by my demands on the world, but it never worked. But he says, thank you very much. And I said, you're welcome. And you see, and I told him, as we were having our telephone conversation, I said, I talk to you on the telephone, and it's like I'm listening to a soliloquy or a monologue by you. I never get a word in edgewise, you know. I don't get to say anything. Why bother calling me at all? And he said, well, you're the only person I call. And I said, if that's true, then why don't we have a conversation? Why don't we talk back and forth? Let me share with you and you share with me. And besides which, I'm paying for the phone call anyhow. But nonetheless. And so he woke up a little bit. Now, whether he'll stay awake tomorrow, you know, after our talk today, will remain to be seen. But I don't care. I don't care. If somebody wants to, if I say, Sylvia, don't put your hand on that hot stove, you'll burn yourself. And to, if I want to, I will. And she puts her hand on, you didn't tell me it would hurt so bad. Well, no, I can't tell you everything. I just say, if you put your hand on a hot stove, you burn yourself. And Sylvia, like all the rest of us, cannot be told. She has to make up her own mind, and she's got to make her own decisions. And when Sylvie's mother would tell her what to do, or when Ingeborg's mother would tell her what to do, or when Ellen's mother would tell her what to do.
She didn't.
Ellen didn't always do it. Ellen tried to find ways around it, but her mother was smarter than Ellen was. And she saw what Ellen was doing, and she said, "Not that way, young lady. Not that way. You do it the way I've told you to do it, or else don't bother. And if you don't bother, then that's just fine. I tell you to put on your dress properly, and if you're going to wear it improperly, well, you just go right ahead to go to school wearing your dress bound backwards, you know." And you know, that's true. You know, Sylvia, what is wrong with women's dresses normally that you have to close with a zipper or buttons? Come on, tell me quickly.
What is wrong? I don't know.
It's on the back.
Oh, okay.
It's on the back. The buttons and zipper are on the back. And so you have to get on the back and zipper them up and get on the back and button them up. And it's so impractical. You know, but I mean, this is what people have done. Designers, because they want the front to be looking so faultless and seamless and beautiful, and so they make you work like the devil trying to button them up the back or have somebody else to help you, you know. And it is interesting. It is very interesting. But that's the way it is. That's just the way it is. And so if you're going to play that game... I tell you, you know, we have a dog here, Rex, and we have him on a leash here attached to the wall, and Rex likes to put on a show for us. And so the drape is hanging here on the edge of the window, and he loves to get underneath that drape and have it drape over his shoulders and say, "Don't I look debonair? Don't I look just wonderful?" And so he comes over and he says, you noticed, didn't you? You noticed how lovely I look with the drape on me. Yes.
Same color.
Same color as him. Beautiful golden. Yes, Rex, you're fantastic. But you see, it's up to us to have that attitude. I live every day as though it is my first, and each succeeding day is equally good, equally great. And you see, this is where we are. Yeah, yeah. He can't come through further there.
Ah.
Huh? Oh, that's up to him. Pull his head out. You know. Did I hurt you, Rex?
Yeah.
You're a silly boy. But you see, make each day exciting. Make each day wonderful. Make each day the most wonderful, great thing that has ever come along. And when you do that, you will be perfectly happy. You'll be perfectly content. And you'll realize that that's what life is all about. And it's a fun thing, and it's a fun experience. And it's up to us to put the cause in motion. Our friend in prison, he got a different point of view. Because instead of writing to him and say, "Do your lessons, do your lessons, do your lessons," I said, "I don't care if you do your lessons. If you do them, it's for you. It's for your enjoyment and your benefit. And so if you don't do them, that's up to you too. It's for your enjoyment and your benefit. And it means nothing to us, except that we are happy that you're a student and less getting information on this good stuff and having a great time." Now, Rex, you are being very disturbing here, trying to get my attention while I'm trying to talk to all these wonderful people. But I love you. I love you. I love you. You're a good boy. And you just hang in there. Yes. Life's like that, isn't it? Things come and try to take our attention away from what we're doing. And if we are diverted, then we are the losers. If we are standing forth firmly on these things, then we are the winners. And Rex gets between me and my chair and the wall, and the plugs are sticking out of the socket on the wall, and he walks by them, bumping them open and closed. And so that's just part of the game, just part of the game, just part of being a parent, having the children trying to get your attention, having the puppies trying to get your attention. Sit. 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 And sit all the way down. Come on now. And he takes his paw and he puts it on you so gently, much as saying, "Oh, I'm a nice guy. Yeah, we know you're a nice guy, but now just sit. Sit. Down. All the way. Beautiful. You have to be very definite. If Rex wants to be in my world, he has to be cooperative. If he isn't cooperative, he's not in my world. But Herb, you love him. You want him. I do not want him, and I do not love him. I love me, and I want me. You understand that? Mm-hmm. I want me. And if everybody in my world is not harmonious with me, then I'm not doing something right, you know? So I'm creating Rex to be a loving, gentle, caring dog, just like I am. To be a loving, caring, gentle being, and he is. And I will not allow any semblances of whatever it might be that isn't contrary to that. But that's up to me. That's up to me. If I let him go beyond what he should do, that's my problem. If I just say, sit, lay down on the floor now, relax. He sits, lays down on the floor, relaxes, and he's perfectly content. He is content whenever I am in charge of myself. Everybody in my world is content as long as I am in charge of myself. Whenever I am not in charge of myself, then my world goes to pot. Then my world's in trouble. But when I greet each day, when I greet every day as though it is my first, and each succeeding day equally great, then I have put the right cause in motion. Then I have created a world in which I am very happy to live. How about you guys? We had a lady call last night. She wanted healing understanding, and I had worked with her quite a little bit, and she felt that I should reach out my hand and touch her and heal her and sort of. And I said, no, we teach healing, we don't do healing. That healing is done by each of us individually by ourselves. Now, you put the cause in motion. And I said, now, this is the biggest thing that I want to say to you. And she was calling from the hospital where she had had an operation. This is the biggest thing that I want to say to you about your current healing progress. This is the biggest thing I want to say to you about your healing progress right now. Can you tell me what it is?
It's done.
Can you tell me what it is? Shut up. Don't tell anybody that you're having a problem. Don't tell anybody that you're healing. Don't tell anybody you had an operation. Because they'll want to say, well, tell me all about it. And so when you tell them all about it, you're reliving the whole thing over again. You're starting out from point one with your illness, with your problem, with whatever you have. Shut up. Don't tell anybody about it. If anybody says, hey, I thought you were sick. Yeah, I'm well now. Hey, I thought we're going to have an operation. No problem. Those things are just a snap. Nothing to it. You know, and shut up. Don't even tell people about it, because people will have it on their mind about what you were going through in your mind as bad enough that you were going through it in your mind alone. Don't spread it around. It's like spreading a disease, you know. And you get more people talking about illness, more people talking about illness, and a few people are dumb enough to experience the illness. When you say, well, Herb, what if you have an illness, and then you say dumb enough people, hey, if I'm using my consciousness improperly and I have an illness, yes, it's a dumb thing that I've done. And it doesn't mean that I can't change it and have it be perfect. So let's all change our attitudes. Stop thinking about the illness and empower the wholeness. I'm whole and perfect. I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body. I live every day as though it is my first, whole and perfect. And each succeeding day is equally great. Aren't we wonderful? Wow, yes. I love you, I love you, I love you. You're whole and perfect, you're whole and perfect, you're whole and perfect, you're whole and perfect, you're whole and perfect. I love you, 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 I love you. I love you.